98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
Here are the top stories of the day that we've been talking about all day long on the Burns and Gambo show. Our reaction to all of them. We call it the 4 o'clock reset here on 98.7 FM, Arizona sports station. Starting with just the same old luck for the Phoenix Suns when it comes to all things drafts, draft lottery, ping pong balls, coin flips.
What do you mean same old luck? Last year they got the number one pick in the draft.
You realize that was like the only time in their 50-year history they actually had any luck when it came to that, right? So
you've got
1 year, I got 50.
You know,
I win.
If they would have got the number two pick, they would have drafted Luka Doncic. So maybe last year winning wasn't winning?
Oh, look at you.
No,
look,
I like
look
DeAndre.
At you. Look at you.
I'm just saying, but if they would have had the number two pick, it would have been Doncic.
Look, you go in reverse psychology.
No, when they won, did they really win or did they lose?
The tiebreaker was held today between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Phoenix Suns. And the Suns lost. The Cavs now have the second-best odds. The Suns have the third-best odds. It does not matter picks 1 through 4. They're dead even. Where it matters is you have a much better chance of ending up with the 6th pick. And being the third-place team, you actually have a chance of going all the way down to 7. You wouldn't have if you finished 2nd. But by finishing 3rd, you have a chance of ending up with the 7th pick in this draft now because of this. They lost today.
Man, you know, it's a two-person draft.
Yes.
With Zion and Ja, and anything else, they'll either look to trade the pick or even maybe even move down. If they get 3 or 4, I could see them moving down for the – and here's the other thing. Very likely if they don't get 1 or 2, 1's a power forward, 2's a point guard. When you start going 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the majority of those guys are wings. Sorry, but they are.
Yeah.
And they've already got 4 wings.
Diamondbacks back in action tonight, taking on the San Diego Padres. We'll talk about Archie Bradley coming up in a little bit, but I did want to pass this along because I just saw this about 15 minutes ago on the old Twitter. Taiwan Walker, 11 and a half months removed from Tommy John surgery, threw a bullpen session today, about 45 pitches for Torey Lovello.
Good news.
He's getting there.
Yeah, good news. I mean, kid's got all the talents in the world. And probably the greatest bobblehead that's ever been made by, you know, any Diamondbacks player.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't realize he had that distinction.
His Game of Thrones bobblehead was the best.
Oh, that one. Okay.
By the way, Archie Bradley bobble gnome tomorrow.
Yeah, not a bobblehead.
Bobble gnome for Archie Bradley tomorrow.
Masters leaderboard. Looky, looky, looky. Tiger Woods is one shot off the lead.
Is he really?
4 under through 16 today.
Damn.
There's 5 golfers ahead of him, including Brooks Koepka. Dustin Johnson is right there with him as well at 6 under par. Phil Mickelson ended up shooting a 1 over today, so he's 3 shots off the pace. But Tiger Woods right now, only 1 shot off
the lead. Who's doing our poll today? Our poll questions.
Sarah Cazell.
Sarah, put up a poll question. Do you want Tiger to win the Masters, yes or no?
You got it.
I want to know, what percentage of people do you think want him to win?
Ooh.
Do you want Tiger Woods to win the Masters, yes or no? We're going to put that poll question up on the Burns and Gambo page. I am curious.
You were going
to
say
to see,
fascinated, but
I was going to say
curious.
I'm curious to see how many people want to see him win and how many people don't.
57% will say yes. They want to see him win.
Look at you.
I'm calling my shot.
57%.
NBA news today. Luke Walton out as head coach of the Lakers. According to reports, it's either going to be Monty Williams or Tyronn Lue as the next coach of the Lakers. Luke Walton might be the next coach of the Kings.
He will not be the next coach of the Phoenix Suns.
But he will not be the next coach of the Phoenix
Suns.
No,
he would not be on their radar. If they decide to go that route and look for a new coach, he would not be on their radar.
David Griffin is the new president of basketball operations for the New Orleans Pelicans, which means I officially have New Orleans envy right now because he's running that organization.
I think that's good news for Alvin Gentry.
I think so, Gentry stays. I think so, too. And Bobby Hurley, according to his Twitter feed, is working on a contract extension with ASU that will keep him there. Typical standard operating procedure.
Until 2074.
When a school comes knocking, as St. John's did, usually that means that if the coach stays, he's going to get a little bit of extra scratch, and it would appear that Bobby Hurley is going to get a little extra scratch from ASU.
Sure it is. You know what? If somebody comes after him next year and he's a better job, he can still leave. It doesn't tie you to the team. You can still leave.
Yeah, but our top story of the day is also our most baffling story of the day, and it came from John Gambadoro. He texted us a link to the story on our website, arizonasports.com. And for all the details, you can get it there at arizonasports.com. And I got to admit.
And follow me on Twitter, Gambo987. I usually have good information even over the weekend.
That too. When you sent me the link to the story today, I was sort of like the ticket oak. I was like, wait, what?
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 What was that commercial about?
It was a ticket oak. It was ticket resales, like StubHub, or something like that.
Okay.
A ticket resale company. The Arizona Cardinals had a workout with Daniel Jones, the quarterback out of Duke.
They did. I was curious to know if the Cardinals were, you know, my feeling was that the only quarterback that they worked out was Kyler Murray. The only, you know, first round worthy quarterback that they would work out would have been Kyler Murray. And then, you know, I was able to find out that Daniel Jones did come in for a visit. The Duke quarterback came in for a visit. Well, you know, you get 30 visits, and one of them was used on the Duke quarterback. Now, fascinating for a couple different reasons. One, the kid's a really smart quarterback, and he's a good player, and he's, you know, very likely going to be a first-round pick. I mean, he's been talked about as being a first-round pick ever since. He's in that group of top quarterbacks, in this draft. The fact that the Cardinals worked him out is kind of fascinating in this way. We kind of feel like if they don't take Kyler Murray, they're not going to touch any other quarterback. It's either Kyler Murray or bust, right? Take Kyler Murray or just keep Josh Rosen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not going to – we would think they're not going to look at Locke. They're not going to look at Haskins. They're not going to look at Jones. So the interesting thing is why. Why would you work out Daniel Jones from Duke? Is it to draw a comparison between him and Kyler Murray because you just want somebody else to compare him to from the same draft class? You want him to go over – is it because it's just, you know, you're doing your homework on guys that may be available to you in the future because you like them? Mm-hmm. And he was under a great head coach who's a, you know, a quarterback guru. So you just want to keep him in mind for the future in case other quarterbacks don't work out. Or my first thought, was if you are going to trade with the Raiders and the Raiders are going to move up to number one and you're going to get those three first round picks, and now all of a sudden you got four picks in the top 33. Could you take a flyer on a guy like that late with your last first round pick or your first second round pick, and you know, you go the Bill Belichick route where you could trade him the way they traded Jimmy Garoppolo, and just have him there and he competes and another team may have loved him and down the road they give you a good pick for him because he's played well in preseason games.
Those are all possibilities.
No answer, just thoughts I have.
You and I carpooled over today, and we talked about this in the car, and we just talked round and round in circles, and we couldn't come up with any reasons. I think you're missing, to me, what is the most plausibly logical explanation, and that's that they're just doing it to mess with people. No, I'm being dead serious. That they're just doing it to continue this cloud of confusion that they've created about their intentions. I mean, look at it. Look at it this way. The whole industry, I don't want to say the whole industry, but a big majority of the industry known as the National Football League believes they're taking Kyler Murray number one.
Yes.
Right? All the mock drafts, all the experts, all the anybody who draws a paycheck from working in or talking about the NFL, man, 95% of them think it's Kyler Murray. What's a great way to throw that into doubt? Well, let's go work out Daniel Jones. Why? Just to screw with him. Just to, you know, throw another log onto the fire and create more of a cloud of confusion about what your intentions really are.
This visit took place, you know, before. Like, it wasn't today or yesterday or the day before. It was a while ago.
Right.
It might have been a week ago or 2 weeks ago. I don't know.
But it's out now.
But why wouldn't you put it out then? Like, why wouldn't you? Hey, Daniel Jones is in the house.
We're 2 weeks before the draft. What difference does that make? It's out now. I mean, it's not like the draft is in an hour. Right? The draft is in 13 days. There's plenty of time for teams to look at that news that you reported and go, well, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, seriously, look, is it possible they could take a quarterback if they traded down and got extra picks? Possible, but then I think you're basically saying you don't trust Josh Rosen if you do that.
No, you're saying I don't agree with you. You're saying, okay, you have Daniel Jones rated as the 17th best player, and he's available at 27 to 33. Value. Can it not be, you know,
we have
four picks in the top 33. We could take a flyer on a really good quarterback that we like that we think that we could trade for something
else
down the road.
But a no vote on Murray seems like a yes vote for for Josh Rosen. And if you're voting for Daniel Jones, then that also feels like a no vote on Josh Rosen. Is it possible you're just doing your homework for 4 years from now? I think that's a strong possibility, too.
Okay.
But you got to keep in mind, too, there's only 30 of these. You only get 30 of these visits. That seems kind of wasteful, you know, especially when you've got all this draft inventory to spend it like that. I don't know. I'm going to go with the they're messing with people theory. To me, that is the strongest
thing here. I'm going to use one of my 30 visits to just screw with people's
minds.
Create
confusion. Create more confusion.
It's a land of confusion.
It is. He was promising a change to his game back in spring training, but so far, those changes have been missing for Archie Bradley, and frankly, Gambo kind of understands why. We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Take it back in time to February 13th, a couple months ago, spring training, Troy Lovello acknowledging that Archie has probably learned that he needs to throw more than just one pitch, that maybe he got a little predictable last year throwing the fastball all the time.
I think he learned a lot through the course of last year that, you know, to get by on blood and guts and one pitch, it's okay. He can do it. But I know Archie has this burning desire to be great. And that motivates him every single day. And I think he's going to stay ahead of situations like this, like that from last year. He'll do that this year to be as great as he possibly can be.
And on the same day in spring training, Gambo, on February 13th, Archie Bradley went on to speak glowingly about not only how his fingernail was doing, but about all these hammer curveballs he was going to drop on big league batters this year.
Boy, this nail is solid.
Throwing some hammers this year.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to have one of the best curveballs in the big leagues this year.
Again?
Yeah. It's nasty. It is. Nail's healthy, no crack, been able to throw it all off season, and I mean, you can hear in the tone of my voice, I'm really excited to get out there and throw some good curveballs this year.
Which is why it was interesting how last night went down the way it did.
10
straight fastballs.
Straight fastballs. And I know I have mixed emotions about this. I was at the game last night.
And you're right. And you know what? Can I just cut you off?
Yeah.
You're right to have mixed emotions about this.
I have mixed emotions.
You're right, too.
Because he came out and he blew Manny Machado away with three fastballs. Boom, boom, boom. Three fastballs. Blew him away. And then he also struck out the next guy, Renfro. Struck him out with the fastball. So now you've struck out two batters in a row. They can't touch you. They're not touching your fastball. You're blowing it by one of the best hitters in baseball in Machado, by Renfro. Margot comes up. First fastball, strike one. Man, I mean, like, somebody want to throw a curveball right there? Like, they can't touch his fastball. He's literally struck out the first two batters. He's ahead on the count on the third guy. And it's like, oh, Archie needs another pitch. I don't know, man. Like, I do have mixed emotions because he gave up a home run on the next pitch on the fastball. Two games in a row, he gave up a home run. He also let an inherited runner score the day before yesterday. But I just, I mean, honestly, I truly believe this. If he had thrown a curveball after striking out those first two guys with his fastball and that got hit over the wall, we'd be sitting there and saying, why didn't you throw the fastball? They couldn't catch up to it.
You're very
right.
They
couldn't hit it. So my mixed emotions are very much, Archie's fastball was unbelievable last night. I mean, it had a lot of giddy up on it. And he got beat. He got beat by the fastball. Look, it's obviously you want to have guys guessing and you want to have them thinking, is it the fastball, is it the curveball? It's good to have two or three pitches. I get all of that. I do. But that fastball last night was so damn dominant that if he had thrown something else, you know, after striking out the first two batters with ease, by the way,
mm-hmm.
I think people would have questioned it. Like, why are you not throwing a fastball? You can't hit it.
I'm sure. And this is what we have a tendency to do in sports. We'll take something and that didn't work. You should have tried it this way. And you're absolutely right. If he had tried it the other way and that hadn't worked, we would have second-guessed him then, too, for not sticking with the fastball. I think, though, most baseball fans can agree that when Archie Bradley is at his best, his very best, the kind of level that we've come to expect from him and the kind that made him one of the best relievers in baseball a couple of years ago, is when he's more than just a one-dimensional pitcher, right?
Yes.
That's if we want peak Archie Bradley, the very best he can be.
He's got to have a good secondary pitch.
Peak Archie Bradley has got to have that curveball working. And that's what made Archie Bradley's struggles so obvious last year. That cracked nail, I mean, first of all, it didn't help at all that he was talking every day he could about his cracked nail and getting fake nails, and everybody knew that he had a cracked nail and couldn't throw the curveball, so they weren't expecting the curveball. They weren't looking for the curveball. That predictability really came to a head last year because he was basically advertising on a billboard that he wasn't going to throw his curveball because he had a cracked nail. When he's at his best, he needs to be a two-pitch pitcher. Now, I agree with you in the sequence last night. It's awfully hard to argue with the results that he was getting, throwing a 95, 96-mile-per-hour heater and just blowing guys like Renfro and Manny Machado away.
Blowing them away.
But after the game, Troy Lovello kind of said the pitch selection might have been what hurt Archie Bradley a little bit.
I think, you know, maybe pitch selection. Obviously, I think he threw, what, 10 or 11 straight fastballs. He had that thing going pretty good at the top of the zone, It came as a total surprise to me. Not that Manuel Margot does not have good power, but I've seen Archie get moving in a really positive direction, and I thought it was going to be a good inning for him. But he got clipped. He made a mistake up out over the plate, and you make a mistake, to good hitters are going to take advantage of it.
Look, I'll be honest with you. More than even Archie Bradley's pitch selection, I'm just looking at Archie Bradley. Two outings, two home runs. This is supposed to be the best reliever in your bullpen, one of the most important guys on your roster. It's far too early, and it's far too small a sample size to express any kind of great deal of concern about this, but this is a situation that bears watching a little bit, don't you think?
Sure.
That's my big takeaway. I mean, mm-hmm. 10 straight fastballs, curveballs. I mean, all right.
You want results.
Yeah, he'll adjust and figure it out. The results are what I'm probably the most concerned about, and results have him giving up two home runs in the last two nights, and this is supposedly my best late-inning option.
And listen, that's why there's mixed emotions, because in the end, it's a results-driven business, and on two consecutive nights, Archie Bradley gave up home runs. I mean, that's fact. Archie Bradley gave up a home run on Thursday night. Archie Bradley gave up a home run on Wednesday night. He's one of your best options in a bullpen. He's given up back-to-back home runs, two home runs in 2 days. That's results. When you watch the game, that's where you get the mixed results. Like, damn, man, that fastball, what are you going to do? We got beat.
Yep.
Happens. Good hitters. They hit a fastball. I understand he's got, now listen, and this is the thing about Archie. Archie talks the talk. He talks the talk. I'm going to have the best curveball in baseball, man. I got to throw in a hammer.
I'm bringing a hammer today. Yeah.
Right? I mean, listen, when you talk like that, you got to back it up. You have to back it up.
Yep.
So where's the curveball? Where is it? Where's the best curveball in baseball? Where's the hammer? Okay, let's see that. Now, if he gets beat again with the fastball and, then people are going to start calling for more. And even last night they said, well, it wasn't pitch selection. It was just location. He didn't locate
the
fastball.
Yeah, that's what he said after the game. He said, I knew the second I left my hand, it was not going to go where I wanted it to go.
Do you know where they lost that game last night, in my opinion?
By not getting Godley out sooner?
No, and I think that Lovello made a terrible mistake not getting Zach Godley out sooner. Myers walked. It was a terrible sequence. Godley's pitches were not good. Hosmer singled on a 2-0 pitch.
Can I guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
Bases loaded, only one out in the first inning, and you only got a run?
I asked Torey Lovello about that last night. I did. You had a rookie pitcher who was called up from Double-A. He had just made one Double-A start. Last year he was in Class A. The guy was in Class A last year. He was in Double-A for one start this year. He comes up. He's on the road, pitching. You got the bases loaded and one out. You have a chance to put the hammer on him.
Yeah.
I mean, you literally could have knocked him out in the first inning, and Marte pops up. And Ahmed strikes out. You come away with him on the ropes. One run in, bases loaded.
Yeah.
And he gets out of it, and then he cruised from there. He cruised. So I think they had him, and they let him off the hook.
You know what I think last night?
Dennis Green
right there. I think last night Archie Bradley was channeling his inner Lou Brown, the manager from Major League. Forget about the curveball, Ricky. Bring him the heater.
Bring him the heater.
I think that's what he was doing. I think he's like, yeah, forget my curveball, man. I'm gonna go Ricky Vaughn. I got Lou Brown telling me to bring him the heater. I'm just gonna bring him the heater. That's what I'm gonna do. Forget the curveball. I think that's what he did. He wasn't gonna throw.
I mean, it's gonna be curious to see what happens in his next outing.
Yes,
I mean, it's real. Next time
curious.
He comes out there, is he gonna throw the curveball?
Yeah. The rumors continue to swirl on the potential of a Josh Rosen trade. What are the interested teams willing to give up for the Cardinals quarterback? If he's even available, that is. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Get about the curveball, Ricky. Give him a heater.
Coming up in 15 minutes, our final qualifier for our Cards on the Clock draft giveaway to Nashville. One last name to be announced at 4:45, so please stay tuned for that, because if it is your name, you're going to have 9 minutes to call. You're going to want to stay tuned for that one. In the meantime, let's send it back to the Auction Community Studios, where Sarah Cazell is standing by with not one, but two Twitter poll questions of the day.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
All right, Sarah, what you got for us today?
All right, the first poll question of the day. If the Suns do not get pick number one or number two in the NBA draft, read, they can't get Zion Williamson or Ja Morant, what should the Suns do? 63% say trade that pick for a veteran player. 26% say draft with the pick you get, just draft with whatever you have. And 11% say trade back.
Trade it, but that is so much easier said than done. That is so much easier said than done. I don't, if it's the sixth pick
in
the draft.
If they've got the fourth pick in the draft, could they do it in Atlanta like what Atlanta did? Atlanta traded back and got an extra first-round pick, and they got Trae Young. A lot of the picks for, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, teams may view them as very similar picks.
Just got to hope that a team covets a player in that spot. I don't know if there's a player to be coveted there, because I do think there's a drop-off after the first two. What's the second question today, Sarah?
The second one comes courtesy of John Gambadoro. He said that he wants to know, do you want the Tiger Woods to win the Masters? Straight up, do you want Tiger to win
Masters?
No.
I don't want him to win either. Why don't you want him to win?
Because he's a bad person. So
yeah, you know what? I agree.
So that's...
hey, listen, we don't agree on many things, me and you, but we agree on this.
Like if women should be able to vote in 2019, that whole thing.
I think women should be able to vote.
Oh, good. Okay.
Stop.
You know, Gambo and I carpooled over today.
More like I do.
Fair enough.
Gambo and I carpooled over today. I'm really starting to enjoy this kind of tension between the two of you. I think it's a lot of fun. You two are. I'm enjoying your back and forth sometimes. Sometimes I just like to sit back and watch it happen.
Yes.
I gotta say, I feel no tension. I'm just speaking my mind. That's
no, not ten. Not tension is the wrong word. I just like the back and forth between you two. I guess that's the more correct way of putting it.
Yes, totally agree. The Tiger Woods is a bad person. I'm not rooting for him to win.
Yes,
like
you're going to be disappointed in the result, Gambo. 77% of our voters right now do want Tiger to win the Masters. 23% say no.
Mm. All right.
Yeah, well.
What about you, Burnsy?
I'll root for him to win.
You'll root for him to win?
I think it's a hell of a story if he does.
Yeah.
I think sometimes you root for people. I root for stories sometimes. That would be one story to root
for. This forgiving thing is very overrated.
I knew you would say that about that. I knew it. Josh Rosen, and we've got another round of rumors, and this time with a different team. Let's set this up here. This is on Fox Sports Radio. This is Sean Merriman, the former San Diego Charger great. Of course, Chargers now in L.A. Described himself almost as like the official greeter of the L.A. Charger organization, and said because of that, he reached out to Josh Rosen.
And most of the guys or most of the fans know that they call me the recruiter. Right? Because, if there's a guy that's on the market, and of course I want him to come to my squad. I want him to come to the team that I play for. Obviously, I'm here. I still support the team. And I like to be a part of a winning organization still. So I just reached out to him and on Twitter, and I said, hey, Josh, how you doing? How's your day? You know, kind of just a quick shot.
Innocuous, nothing big. Sure.
Just nothing big. What's up, bro? How you doing? How's your day? And he responded, man, everything is good. You know, he responded a couple times, and people started to really look into it.
What is Sean Merriman, like a greeter here at Walmart? What's next? Going to hand Josh Rosen a cart, you know, and point out where the grocery aisle is? Hey, just want to say hi, you know. And the reason, Gambo, why he wanted to do that was because he thinks the L.A. Chargers have real interest in Josh Rosen.
We all know that there's two or three teams that he can possibly go to. You just mentioned them. The Chargers could be seriously, and from what I'm hearing, it's a big possibility that he could end up there. He could be coming in.
Okay, Chargers. So in a week where we've heard, the Giants aren't very interested, the Redskins aren't very interested, the Patriots aren't very interested, here's the Chargers.
Yes.
Here is the Los Angeles Chargers.
But just like we said when it was said that the Washington Redskins aren't interested in Rosen, you asked the question, and I thought it was a good one. What exactly does that mean? Are they not interested in him at all? I doubt that. Are they interested in him if they can get him for a third-round pick? I can't imagine any team in the league wouldn't be interested in Josh Rosen if they could get him for a third-round pick. So let's take that same question and apply it to the Chargers.
Okay.
How interested are they in Josh Rosen? Are they 28th pick overall in the draft interested? Or is it more 60th. Like the 67th or whatever pick they have in the second round interested in Joshua? Because that's the question, isn't it?
It's the level of interest. It's not interest. You know, there are teams that are interested in him. It's what's the level of interest in Rosen if he is available, which we don't know that yet. Is the level of interest a first-round pick, a second-round pick, a third-round pick? What is the level of interest? That is the big question, and we don't have the answer to. So now he's saying the Chargers want him, but would the Chargers give up their first-round pick to get him? You know, Phillip Rivers, they were in the playoffs last year. They're trying to win now. Do they want to have a guy that's going to sit behind Phillip Rivers for 2 years with their first-round pick, or do they feel like they can get a player that could help them win now? Take advantage of, you know, the last 2 years that they have of Phillip Rivers and try to get somebody in the first round that could help them win football games.
You were right. It's 60 in the second round. So number 28 overall in the first round, number 60 overall in the second round. They've got 91 in round three. It might just be a value proposition for the Chargers. I mean, kind of like we were talking about with Daniel Jones. If the Chargers truly have Josh Rosen as the second-best quarterback in this draft, right, and they're looking at it and they're saying, I can get the second-best quarterback in this draft, even though he's not in this draft. I can get the second-best quarterback available for the 28th pick. Who wouldn't want to do that? And absent of everybody else and what they are or are not willing to do, if the Chargers have the kind of conviction to say, we think he's that good, of course he's worth it. Of course we would take Josh Rosen 28th overall if he were sitting there in the draft. If you believe that, then do it. Give up your 28th pick and take him.
Just remember,
if you feel that way about him.
You're taking a guy that's going to sit the entire season and maybe next season too, instead of getting a player that might be able to come help your football team win games right now.
I know.
That's always the hard part.
But it's very Belichickian of them, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To do that, to say, okay, he's going to be our Garoppolo, he's going to be our Jacoby Brissett, he's going to be a guy that isn't going to play a lot, isn't going to help us a lot, but we believe the time will come and the day will come when we are going to need Josh Rosen to be our franchise quarterback, and that is absolutely worth the 28th pick overall in this draft to us. I mean, it'd be a tough sell on Phillip Rivers, and I bet Phillip Rivers is just the kind of quarterback who would look at that and go, man, what the hell are you doing? Come on.
We're this close.
Yeah, go get me somebody who can help. Don't get somebody who's here to replace me. Go get somebody who can help.
Steelers are a mess.
Yep.
Patriots, Gronk just retired. They lost a lot of key players. This could be our year. Like, if I'm the Chargers, I'm thinking that way. Like, you know what? We've got a legitimate shot right now.
Yeah. Zach Godley saw things fall apart in the sixth inning last night. Should his manager have had a quicker hook before the wheels came off? We'll get into that coming up on this Friday edition of the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo on your drive home.
But none of you say, damn, that's impressive that you know every single freaking play in the game. None of you.
98.7 FM.
Now what are you schmucks?
Arizona's sports station.
Want to go to Nashville for the NFL draft?
Nashville, Tennessee.
Cards on the clock. Ultimate draft flyaway experience.
Yeehaw!
Brought to you by Cherish. All natural, 100% cherry juice.
Want to finish up the week strong when it comes to Cards on the Clock and the Ultimate Draft flyaway experience, which is why if your name is Brett Hundel, man, you got a lot of pressure on you because you got 9 minutes to make us look good here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Nine minutes.
And you'll also qualify for a trip to go see the NFL draft. And it'll be awesome and you're going to absolutely love it. But so far, Gambo and I have qualified only one person all week. All week, Gambo.
Losers.
We're 1-for-4. All right? We're trying to get the batting average up to 400. So we want to go 2-for-5. Brett Hundel, H-U-N. H-U-D-N-E-L-L.
Hudnell.
Hudnell. I'm sorry. I said it wrong.
Thank you. I'm going to say he's going to call.
Hudnell.
I got you. He's going to call.
H-U-D-N-E-L-L. Brett Hudnell. 602-260-9870. 602-260-9870. One more time. Brett Hudnell. 602-260-9870. 9870. You have 9 minutes. We get to chat baseball with Steve Berthiaume.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo talk Diamondbacks baseball with a D-backs broadcaster, The Booth.
The Booth. It's a fact check. I'm back. You back. We back. Back.
Love having Steve Berthiaume join us on the show. He's live there at Chase Field. He's got the headsets on to talk a little D-backs with us here on our In the Booth segment, our weekly visit with one of the Diamondbacks broadcasters. Good afternoon, Mr. Berthiaume.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Fantastic. How about yourself?
I'm using Mike Farron's headset, so if I start to bloviate, let me know.
All right, let's. I'm sure you can take a pill for that if that's the case.
Yes,
I'm sure
hopefully.
You'll be fine. Yes.
Let's get your take on Archie Bradley last night. I said I had mixed emotions. I mean, that fastball was dynamic. I mean, the way he struck out Machado on three pitches, the way he, you know, came back and struck out Renfro. I mean, he was throwing that fastball. It was dynamic. If he would have thrown a curveball and got beat, people would have said, why didn't you throw the fastball? Nobody could catch up to it. So I know he's given up homers in back-to-back games, but, man, that fastball was electric with those first two batters.
Yeah, he was really doing, Gambo, I thought, a great job of elevating, kind of climbing the ladder with that. And you could see Margot, he was obviously watching the first two at-bats, just sitting fastball. He got one. Archie missed a spot badly, and he owned that after the game. He was trying to throw a fastball down and away, and it got up and in. So that fastball just got away from him. But I think what we take away from that outing, and really the last couple of outings for Archie, is that, you know, for lack of a better term, swag is a big part of his game. It's an attitude. It's a domination. It's a mound presence. And that's part of his game. It's part of what made him so good 2 years ago. And it got away from him a little bit last year when he couldn't throw the curveball, had the fingernail problem. I think he's in the process of trying to get that back, and he almost is. There's an intimidation factor that he has that I think he needs to tap into, and we saw him do that in the first two at-bats last night. I think Yoan Lopez has that same air about him. It's a mound presence, and for Archie, he did a good job of getting that back last night. He made one bad pitch, and it cost him.
But he to be Archie Bradley, he needs to incorporate that curve a little bit more, yes?
Yes, I think that there's still – Archie, I think, is still feeling his way back in terms of the mix. We know he's got the curveball. He feels a lot better about the curveball. The fingernail has healed. Now, when is the right time to throw it? I think that becomes the final part of that equation, and I think that's still a work in progress.
I thought Godley last night, I didn't like the at-bat to Myers. He walked him. Myers swung at a 3-1 pitch. There was nowhere near the strike zone. He walks him. He gets behind Hosmer 2-0. He gets the single. Machado gets the RBI single. At that point, I'm worried about Godley. I need to have somebody up in the pen getting ready. He faced Renfro, Reyes, Tatis, then Hedges hit the home run. I thought that they probably should have had somebody up and ready to go to get him out of that inning because that was a dangerous inning for him.
There's a number of factors in play here, Gambo. One, Torey Lovello wants his starters to know, we all know about the 21 outs mandate. He wants his starters to know that he's not going to panic. You're not going to see someone up in the bullpen as soon as somebody gets on base. It's very, very important to Torey that his starting pitchers know that he has their back, that he's giving them the vote of confidence. Now, with two cases, because we see the same thing a lot with Robbie Ray, it's a very difficult line for Torey to walk because a lot of it, I think, is body language. And with Robbie, when it starts to get away from Robbie, Robbie will slow the game down. You will see Robbie sort of walk around the mound a little bit more. He'll go to the rosin bag a bit more often. His pace, his tempo, his rhythm suddenly slows. When I see that, I see, okay, Robbie's near the end. And the manager's looking for the same thing. When it happens with Zach Godley, it's immediate. It goes right off the cliff. It's one pitch and done. He will spike a changeup or yank a cutter or throw a curveball in the dirt, and it goes from 100 to 0 in the snap of a finger. So if you're the manager and you're looking for body language, you're looking for that moment, you can't have guys up in the bullpen with what they call dry humps. That's the worst thing a manager can do to a reliever. Get him up, sit him down, get him up, sit him down, get him up, sit him down, and then never put him into a game. So Torrey's trying to avoid that with his relievers. But with Zach Godley, because when it goes for Zach, it's instantaneous, that makes it very hard for the manager to know when to get a guy up. And in Zach's case, I think, okay, it needs to be right away. As soon as you see it, okay, get somebody up. I think his circumstance is different from any other pitcher on the team.
Steve Berthiaume, play-by-play voice from Fox Sports Arizona. They have a big day coming up tomorrow, by the way. We'll talk about that in a second. I know you've got two baseball games that you're going to be calling. I probably asked you this in the past, but I can't recall your answer. For you personally, as a baseball guy, as a play-by-play voice, when does a trend become more than just a trend? Whether it's a shaky bullpen or an offense performing one way or another, how many games, how many weeks, how long does it take before you say that's reality? That is what this is going to be for the course of the season.
In what area?
Well, the bullpen. Archie Bradley has given up two home runs in the last two games. Hirano's been a little shaky at times. Chafin's been a little shaky at times, though he was good in getting out of that bases loaded jam. Like something like that. At what point do you look at the bullpen? I'm just using that as an example. Sure. And say, okay, that's something I'm concerned about, or that's nothing I'm concerned about.
I think, Bernsey, because it's constantly, baseball is an adjustment to the adjustment to the adjustment, things are constantly evolving. Take Yoshi Hirano, for example. Yoshi had some really bad outings the first few times out there. The last two times he's been out there, he's looked terrific, and he's got a better feel for that release point on his split. Last night, I think, he struck out the side on 12 pitches.
Yeah.
So night and day difference there. So is that a trend? No. I think that's Yoshi just sort of getting his feet back under him and easing into his season. As we talked about, Archie, last night, one bad pitch. Made a bad pitch with a fastball. That was all about location. Is that a trend? Nah, not really. I think Andrew Chafin, we saw a trend last year. 14 times he walked the first batter he faced. I heard you guys talking about this yesterday. That, to me, is a trend, and it occasionally will bite Andrew in the backside. So I think it's very much a case-by-case basis. I think offensively what we've seen was a Diamondback team that came out and just hitting the crap out of fastballs. They were killing fastballs the first week or so of the season, and we talked about adjustments. The league adjusted to that. Now D-backs hitters are seeing a lot more breaking balls, more curveballs, more sliders, and what's happening is they're taking that aggressive approach they had against fastballs, and they're chasing breaking balls out of the zone. That, to me, is what's going on right now. The hitters are simply, they're not as disciplined as they need to be. They're seeing more curveballs, they're seeing more sliders, they're seeing more changeups, and they're chasing more pitches out of the zone. Now it's up to them to make an adjustment. So that, I think, is part of the back and forth, give and take. I don't see that as a trend, but I do see that happening right now with this team offensively.
I think, one guy pointed out yesterday that I wanted to see do better, that I thought was really struggling, that they needed to pick it up, was Escobar. Now, he hit the 3-run homer on the 0-1 pitch, in the seventh last night. I think that was a good sign. But to me, clearly, he's the guy. They paid him a lot of money. They gave him a 3-year deal. He's got to play better for this offense to have success.
I agree. And he really struggled. I thought he had a bad spring. He just kind of looked to be going 3/4 speed in the spring, Escobar, and to get off to a poor start. But we were looking at this a minute ago. Escobar last six games, 3 doubles, a homer, 5 RBIs. He's walked 6 times in his last 6 games, which is a great sign. And, of course, he had the big hit yesterday. So he's a professional hitter. He's a grown-up. I don't worry about him at all. I think he's played really well the last week.
Tomorrow on Fox Sports Arizona, it's Baseball Day Arizona. 24 hours of programming on Fox Sports Arizona, and that includes you calling not one but 2 baseball games. You got the D-backs and the Padres tomorrow night at 5. You're also calling my alma mater, the Corona del Sol Aztecs, taking on Desert Vista at Chase Field tomorrow. It's a day-long celebration of baseball on your network. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been a big project. Everybody at Fox Sports Arizona has been very busy with this really since the new year. And we'll have a high school baseball game here, as you mentioned, Bernsey, at 10 a.m. Tomorrow morning, live on Fox Sports Arizona. Those two great baseball programs. Then there's GCU and U of A softball in the afternoon, and then the D-backs and Padres in the evening. So it's 3 live broadcasts all in a row. They've got a set up out here on the plaza. Todd will be there. Kate Longworth will have a cavalcade of stars in between the two games, talking about baseball and softball in Arizona. There are some networks, regional networks, that have done this in other parts of the country. I know the folks in Minnesota do a tremendous job with Hockey Day Minnesota, where they show a bunch of different hockey games over the course of a day. It's all live. It's all back-to-back-to-back. And there's Texas football. Well, Well, we really should have one in Arizona for baseball and softball, and we'll have our first one Saturday. It's a big project. It's going to be a lot of fun. Gonzo is with me on the high school game tomorrow morning, and then BB and I will have D-backs and Padres at 5 o'clock.
Good stuff, Steve. We're looking forward to it. Thanks for swinging by for a few.
Okay, guys. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Steve Berthiaume, play-by-play voice of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Gambo, caller number 9 at 602-260-9870.
You're 1-5.
We're a 200-hitting show when it comes to this. 200!
People qualify and they don't want to win.
Caller number 9, we open it up. The very final, last qualifier for the trip to Nashville to see the NFL draft. Caller number 9 at 602-260-9870. 602-260-9870. Whether it's real or just a smokescreen, people believe the Cardinals want Kyler Murray. So why in the world did Arizona work out a quarterback not named Kyler Murray? We'll try to get to the bottom of that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.